This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, today we begin a message from the series in Jeremiah about personal integrity and personal honesty. From the 5th chapter, where God says he's looking for people who do this. How dramatic. They simply tell the truth. That's what the Lord's looking for, men and women who tell the truth. And we begin with a story told by Zig Ziglar, a former motivational speaker who died in 2012. But I think it'll speak to you today in 2017. As we continue our series, The God with a Plan, from the book of Jeremiah. God bless you as you listen.
Well, I think you have a sense of what the message is about today. Personal integrity and honesty, and it'll flesh out as you hear the message. Here we had that message on honesty, and to tell you what an impact it had on people, we had more people steal the CDs of the message today than ever before. I just think it's just what a great impact on people. Zig Ziglar is a man that some of you are familiar with. Maybe you've heard him speak on tape or in person. I had the wedding for his granddaughter when I ministered in Dallas, Texas, and then spoke at his employee annual dinner that they had there in Dallas, and I got to know him a little bit. He writes this about marrying the right person or marrying the wrong person. Here's what he says. I have no way of knowing whether or not you married the wrong person, but I do know that many people have a lot of wrong ideas about marriage and what it takes to make that marriage happy and successful. I'll be the first to admit that it's possible you did marry the wrong person. However, if you treat the wrong person like the right person, you could end up having married the right person after all. Some of you didn't get that. Listen to that again. If you treat the wrong person like the right person, you could end up having married the right person after all. On the other hand, if you marry the right person and you treat that person wrongly, you certainly will end up having married the wrong person. I also know that it's far more important to be the right kind of person than it is to marry the right person. It's more important to be the right kind of person than to marry the right person. In short, he says, whether you marry the right or wrong person is primarily up to you. It's primarily up to you. I want to talk to you today about being the right person, not in the eyes of your spouse, but in the eyes of God. Because when you're a right in the eyes of God, you will be right in the eyes of your spouse, in my opinion. When you're right in the eyes of the Lord in terms of at least attempting to live the godly life that God wants you to live and wants me to live, then we're well on our way to being the kind of spouse that our spouse would like us to be. We're looking at the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a prophet, remember, who discovers as a child that God has a plan for his life. And God says, before you were even born, Jeremiah, I knew you. What a statement. When you were formed in the womb, I had a plan for you. And the message that day was God had an awareness of you long before you had any awareness of him. Long before you had any self-awareness or awareness of your mother or father as a baby, God had an awareness of you and has a plan for your life. It doesn't end last week or start next week. He's got a plan for your life and what he'd like for you to do with your life. And today, about personal integrity, as God speaks through the prophet Jeremiah in the 5th chapter, and some things that I think may surprise you when you hear them today. Jeremiah 5, beginning at verse 1.
Well, we're almost out of time, but I do want to read verse 1 that says this. Go up and down the streets of Jerusalem. Look around and consider. Search through her squares. God says to Jeremiah, if you can find but one person, who deals honestly and seeks the truth, I will forgive this city. Can you believe that? God says if you can find one person who seeks the truth and deals honestly, I will forgive this city. We'll continue tomorrow on Cross Hope.
I'm attracted to books or articles by titles, and so are you. Most people are. I think I was on an airplane and I saw an article with this title, The 100 Best People in the United States. I've seen articles, The 100 Richest, The 100 Most Beautiful People, The 100 This or That, The Most Intelligent People, but this was an article, The 100 Best People. I wanted to know, who did they say were the best people? What would God say? And then it dawned on me what the Lord said in Jeremiah 5. And I want to bring up verse 1 again. Here's what the Lord's looking for. Go up and down the streets of Jerusalem. Look around and consider, search through her squares. If you can find one person who deals honestly and seeks the truth, I will forgive this city. Do you realize how mind-boggling that is? God says, if you can find one honest man or one honest woman in this town, I'll forgive the city of Jerusalem. I'll forgive the city. A couple things there. It talks about the power of one. I don't mean this in some arrogant sense or prideful sense, but some of you may feel like you're the only one at work who does the right thing. Some of you may feel like you're the only one in your family or extended family. Everybody else is cutting corners. Everybody else is lying. Everybody else is doing this or that. And you're the only one who's walking the straight and narrow, to use that analogy. And I want to tell you, the Lord looks at one person. You may be the one person where you work. You may be the one person at school. You may be the one person in your community, your neighborhood. But isn't it interesting? God told Jeremiah, if you can find one man or woman that's honest and seeks the truth, I'll spare the city. I'll forgive the city. There is the power of one. And my point in telling that is this, don't give up being the one. And I didn't say this in the first two services, but you may be the one in your marriage. So what do you mean by that? You may be the one who seeks the truth when your spouse doesn't. And there may be a time in your life earlier in your marriage where that was true and maybe true now. But you've got to stay as the one. You've got to keep on keeping on as the one and not give in and not give up and throw in the towel. Let's look at the next verse, verse 2. Although they say, as surely as the Lord lives, still they are swearing falsely. People of Jerusalem were using the Lord's name to swear by his name that they were telling the truth about something. We don't use the phrase, as the Lord lives, but may I give you a phrase I hear every day? I swear to God. You've said it, I've said it. I swear to God it's true. I swear to God I was there. I swear to God I wasn't there. And we use God's name to back up our lies sometimes. All I'm saying is this, be careful when you use the name of God to back up a lie. Let me say that again. Be careful when you use the name of God to back up a lie. The Lord was pointing out to Jerusalem, or through Jeremiah, that the people of Jerusalem were using the Lord's name not to back up the truth, but to back up their lies. I swear to God it's true when it wasn't. Verse 3 is an interesting verse, and I want to talk about three things very quickly out of it. O Lord, do not your eyes look for truth? You struck them, but they felt no pain. You crushed them, but they refused correction. They made their faces harder than stone, which is a reference to stubbornness, and they refused to repent. That first phrase I want to talk about just for a moment. Do not your eyes look for truth. This may be a little late for most people here. You say, well, thanks. You should have given me this advice a long time ago. And maybe it's true. But if you're looking for a husband or wife, I'm going to give you a good starting point. Find out if they're a man or woman who tells the truth.
We'll continue this message on personal honesty and integrity tomorrow on CrossHope. That's crosshope.org.
But if you're looking for a husband or wife, I'm going to give you a good starting point. Find out if they're a man or woman who tells the truth. Then find out their talents, find out their capacities, find out how much money they make, all the other stuff that people want to know about another person. But you start with this basis. Is he a man of the truth? Is she a woman of the truth? And you say, why would you pick that? Because God did. Because Jeremiah said, Lord, don't you look for truth? Don't your eyes look for the truth? The Lord is looking for truth in men in this room. He's looking for truth in women in this room. He's looking for the truth in young people in this room. And here's my question. Does he see it? Does the Lord God Almighty see truth in you and in me? And I want to suggest it's a great starting point for looking for a mate, is to find somebody who tells the truth and who seeks the truth. And when it says to seek the truth, when Jeremiah says to seek the truth, it means that you're interested in truthful relationships. And ultimately, in a Christian sense, I think to seek the truth means this. You seek Christ. Jesus would say what about himself? I am the way and the truth and the life. So if he is the truth, to seek truth ultimately means seeking him. Now there's two phrases in this verse that I just read that I think are fascinating. They refused correction and they refused to repent. Don't raise your hands, but everybody knows somebody in your family, extended family, where you work, a person who refuses correction. You say, what does that mean? Plain English, it's somebody who says, I'm never wrong. You're wrong, but not me. They refuse correction. And then the ultimate extension of that is a refusal to repent. All I want to say about those two things, if you and I are people who refuse correction and refuse to repent, at the very least, we're people of pride. And at the worst, we're people of rebellion. Listen to that again. At the very least, we are people of pride. It's a spirit of pride that backs a man into a corner where he says, I refuse correction. Nobody's going to straighten me out. I'm never wrong. That's the attitude that some people give, men and women. Young people, doesn't matter the age. You can be young and have that attitude. You can be middle-aged and have that attitude. You can be in your senior years and have that attitude and refuse to repent. The word repent, we've talked about it before, means to turn 180 degrees. That's all it means. It's not, we've made a big religious word out of it, and it simply means to turn 180 degrees from what's wrong to what's right. Turning away from that which pulls me away from the Lord and turning toward the Lord himself. Lying has become a way of life in our culture. James Patterson writes this, people lie at the drop of a hat about everything from the quality of dinner to whether they really love their spouse. He quotes a survey that says 91% of people in the U.S. say they lie routinely. 91%. 36% of those people confess to dark, important lies. Dark lies. But then there are trivial lies that include insincere compliments on dinner or clothes. You don't have to raise your hand, but has any husband here ever complimented a dinner that you absolutely hated? You ever told your wife that you love that dress and you said under your breath, where in the world did she buy that? Dark lies are those that hurt other people. 86% claim to lie regularly to their parents. 86% in this survey said, oh yeah, I lie routinely to my parents. 75% claim they lie regularly to their friends. 73% admitted lying to their brothers and sisters. And nearly 70% admitted to regularly lying to their spouses. We'll continue this message tomorrow. Our website is crosshope.org. Dark lies are those that hurt other people. 86% claim to lie regularly to their parents. 86% in this survey said, oh yeah, I lie routinely to my parents. 75% claim they lie regularly to their friends. 73% admitted lying to their brothers and sisters. And nearly 70% admitted to regularly lying to their spouses. What does that say? That lying has become a way of life in our culture, in the United States of America. And yet, the first thing out of the box that God says I'm looking for in a man or woman is they tell the truth. I'm intrigued by what the Lord doesn't say. I'm not looking for somebody who reads the Bible or reads the scripture 24 hours a day. He doesn't say I'm looking for people who are super spiritual and super pious, who just devote themselves to privately praying. I'm looking for a guy who's honest. I'm looking for a woman who tells the truth, and that's what the Lord is looking for in your life and in my life. Rick Graham was a cab driver in San Francisco. A woman got into his cab. He took her to the place that she requested. He drove off, and he happened to turn around, and he saw a purse in the back seat. Pulled over, saw, opened it up. There was $1,800 in cash. Probably in $150 bills in a bank envelope. They just made a withdrawal from the bank. Folks, I'll be honest with you, there would be a lot of people, it has nothing to do with being a cab driver or whatever a person does, it would just be a lot of people that say, her loss is my gain. And maybe even some cab drivers in this case would have said, we'll get the purse back to her with her ID, well, at least we'll do that, we'll get her credit cards back, but the cash is mine. Rick Graham drove around the city to find this woman so he could personally hand deliver and say, ma'am, you left your purse in my cab. Can you imagine what she felt when she opened it up and everything was there? The cash, the credit cards, the ID, nothing was taken. And Rick Graham said, that's me. I'm an honest person. I'm not a deceptive person. I'm not going to steal from somebody. And just because she left it in my cab didn't mean that I was entitled to take that which did not belong to me. Does that speak to anyone today about personal honesty and in your life and in my life? When you know that the Lord says to Jeremiah, if you can find one guy that's honest, I'll forgive the city, then you know that honesty matters to the Lord. When the Lord says, if you can find one woman who seeks the truth in this city, I'll spare the city, then you know it matters to the Lord. Dr. William Backus wrote a book years ago called Untwisting Twisted Relationships. It's a book about how families get into turmoil, how marriages get into turmoil, and how you untwist twisted relationships. It's an interesting thought. He said there are three keys to untwisting twisted relationships. You may want to write these down. They all begin with the letter R. Three things that you've got to do to untwist twisted relationship. Number one, you have to reveal. You reveal what the problem is. The word require, what's required to straighten things out, and then number three, to restore twisted relationships. Let me talk about what he says. He says, first of all, you have to reveal what the root problems are. You have to get to the root of the problem and say, not what the surface problem is, but what's the root problem? Dr. Backus says, sometimes a wife will tell him, I'm angry at my husband because he makes fun of me all the time. He says, that's the surface problem. What the real problem is the wife is really not sure that he loves her.
Well, this is such an important illustration. We're going to play it in its entirety tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to this message again or any other message you'd like to hear on Cross Hope.
Dr. Backus says, sometimes a wife will tell him, I'm angry at my husband because he makes fun of me all the time. He says, that's the surface problem. What the real problem is the wife is really not sure that he loves her. The issue is not that he makes fun of her. The issue is she's saying, I wonder if he really loves me. And then he said, when a husband comes to him and says, you know, my wife is always putting me down. Everything I do is stupid. Everything I do is the wrong thing. She makes light of anything that I say or do. And he said, that bothers me. And then Dr. Backus said, you know, the real problem is not that she's putting him down. The real problem at the root is this. He's saying to himself, does she respect me as a man? Does she really respect me as a man? And so Dr. Backus said, the first thing you do is reveal the root problem, not the surface problems, but the root problems. The second thing we have to do is the word require. What's it going to take? What's required in order to have truthfulness in our relationship? What's required in getting things back together? And he said, until you discover what's required in that, nothing ever happens until people discuss what's required. Spiritually, he says, he calls it repentance is required, to turn away from that which is wrong and to turn to the Lord. And sometimes repentance happens in a marriage relationship where a husband has to say either openly or privately, you know, I've been walking away from you. I've been walking back away from you, but I'm going to turn back to you as my wife. And sometimes a wife has to say that to her husband. I've been stepping back from you, but now I repent and I step toward you and I'm going to walk toward you. And that can happen in personal relationships, not just with the Lord, but everyday relationships in a household. And then the third thing is restoring. God is in the restoration business, restoring peace, harmony, love, and satisfaction to relationships now crippled because of behavior and emotions arising from root problems. I want to ask you this question. What needs to be revealed in your life right now? My guess is every man, every woman in this room, you know what it is. You know, most people go to counseling. I have a theory that they sort of know what they need to do. And counselors may not tell you this, but it's true. They know what they need to do. I ask people all the time, well, what do you think I should do? And they tell you what they should do. And I said, you're right. Of course, I don't charge them. There's no fee for that. But counselors do. And they say $100, please, for you telling yourself what you need to do. But there's a lot of truth to that, that we know intuitively, we know instinctively what it is we need to do, what's revealed, what's required. Ask the Lord to tell you what's required, to reveal to your spirit what's required for you to get things right, and then you work on restoring. You work on restoring relationships. Zig Ziglar said, you may have married the wrong person, but he says, I guarantee you, it's more important to be the right person. It's more important to be the right person than it is to marry the right person. He's right. And isn't it interesting? God was looking over the city of Jerusalem, and I wonder, does he look over Dayton and Cincinnati? Does he look over the state of Ohio and say the same thing? I'm just looking for people who are honest. I have a feeling he does. Because I'll tell you, being honest and seeking the truth is a great first step in coming to know the Lord. Most people who are open to seeking the truth will eventually come to Christ when they're open to it. I believe that with all my heart. Because you see, sooner or later, a man or woman who seeks the truth is going to wake up one morning and say, he is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if he is the truth, then the biggest thing I need to do in having a seeking the truth is to know the one who is the truth. His name is Jesus. Let's pray to him right now.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.